And the one thing, like what it said about David, help me face my giants with confidence. I think we all have giants that we have to face. Sometimes we don't realize it. And I think sometimes we don't connect the Bible with actually what's going on. And there's some things about David that sometimes don't get brought up. They talk about the big giant that he faced, but they don't. So a lot of times pastors don't talk about the lion that he killed and the bear that he killed with his bare hands. And he did that to protect his flock, which is what Jesus will do for us. And he never leaves us. And he's there for us. And he guides our steps. Okay, in front of you on your table is the communion. The top part has the wafer in it. And underneath is the wine that actually has juice that's representative of the wine. And that night when Jesus was betrayed, you know, sometimes I sit back and I think about that room and what that room was like, that upper room, because there's so much that happened in the upper room. People spent time together. They ate. They fellowshiped. And this night was no different for the disciples, but it was different for Jesus. Because Jesus knew that it was going to be the last night that he spent time with them. And after they had eaten dinner, he took the bread, and when he broke it, he held it to heaven and he blessed it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Because he wants us to remember. And I don't know so much he wants us to remember that he was crucified as much as he wants us to remember why he was crucified. And then what he did was, in the same manner, he took the wine, and when he had blessed it, he said, "Take, drink of this, all of you. This is my blood shed for you for the new covenant. It's shed for many. It's shed for anyone that comes to him for the forgiveness of their sins." Spend time in meditation after communion, because there's so many things going on in our life. They say there's over 5,000 things every day that get our attention, or 50,000 or 100,000. So just to kind of spend time in reflecting and listening. Because God doesn't come in a loud voice, and he doesn't come in rolling thunder. He's the still small voice. If you would like to make an offering, in the back wing, there's a box that's sitting on the wall. Feel free, just drop it in there. It helps us reach out. It helps us keep the lights on. It helps us do the things that we do. Because we're doing so many incredible things. And like I told people before, it's not just about the church and it's not just about the neighborhood. We are out to change Council Bluffs. And when I share things with you, like the ministry that wants to partner with us, I attempt to share with you as humbly as I can, because for me, it's another step toward helping Council Bluffs, toward making a change in Council Bluffs. And I'm not really sure where the Lord wants us to go. One of the things that I noticed that the Lord does is He gives us visions. He shows us pictures. He gives us ideas. But He doesn't necessarily give us the details. And that happened over and over in the Old Testament. Is as He told Moses, He said, take all these people and go out to the desert. Moses said, why? He said, well, get out there and I'll tell you why. And He gave him details as he went along. And that's what I see we're doing. And this is where your offering comes into play. So I want to thank you for that. Our main reach out challenge, we've already met it. It was the National Day of Prayer. And if you thought that this National Day of Prayer was cool, wait till next year. We are already working on some things in some different parts of Council Bluffs. I cannot wait. Our verse for this month is Hebrews 13:16. But do not forget to do good. Don't forget to share. Remember, ever since we were little kids, share. It's right out of the Bible. Share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. And the thing that I think of when I see verses like this that says God is well pleased, it's that He's always watching over us. And He's always seeing what we're doing. How is God going to be well pleased if He doesn't know what we do and He's not looking over us? So this gives me confidence that He's always there. Just like He said in Matthew 28, I will be with you even till the end of the ages. And He is. Worry is a conversation that you have with yourself about things you cannot change. Prayer is so powerful. Prayer is a conversation you have with God about things He can change. If you don't think it can be changed, have a prayer with God. If it's His will, He'll change it. It's not like, oh God, I need $1 million. I really like that Mercedes Benz.
I want to win the Powerball.
Oh man, y'all know Patrick. Y'all remember Patrick and Ruth and Shannon?
He'll be there next week.
Okay, this is Patrick's brother over here. So, okay. Oh my gosh. Okay, let's go on. Oh, congratulations, graduates, once again. So I guess I need to say something about graduation. How about graduating? How about graduating to the next level? Good morning. It's great to see everyone. So many happy events are going on this month, and the greatest event that I know that's going on right now is graduation. Today we celebrate the graduation of two of our congregants, Monica and Dallas. Oh my gosh. You know, sometimes people think it only happens once. Then they go back and they get another degree. Then they go back and get another degree. And I think it's great. They just keep graduating. And this is quite an accomplishment for both of them. Personally, I'm excited to see what they're going to do in the world. We all know that there's improvement that needs to be made in the world. These two people just graduated. And they've been given a lot of information. They've been given a lot of things, and they've been given the opportunity to improve a world that definitely needs to be improved on. And it was like I said last week, their upbringing, their determination, and their fortitude will dictate where they go and what they will do with what they've earned. And they've definitely earned their degrees and their diplomas. Dallas will be out in the world for the first time. It's a huge world. We've all been there. We've all taken that step. And Monica is set to help multitudes of people, and they can surely use our help and support. You don't need to physically be there for them, but boy, they can use prayers. Because look at the challenges that face them as they step out into the world, into the new roles. This may be a little bit scary for them as they go on, but it's an accomplishment that came with a price that was well worth the sacrifice. And I know sometimes we look back and we go, was it really worth it? Look, I got this little piece of paper now. Yes, it was. It was worth the sacrifice. Sometimes we don't see what's ahead of us. And maybe we want to give up. Or maybe we want to just sit on the sideline like those other people. But that's not what they did. And that's not what we do at Martinwood Christian Church. We get off the couch, we move forward, and we do what we can to change the world. We don't do what the billionaires and millionaires do to change the world. We do what we can in our world. And the cool thing is I see a lot of times that God keeps the windows of heaven open and all the blessings start falling out and it fills our blessing bubble. And once that blessing bubble is full, it gets bigger and it gets bigger. And I see that happening with what we're doing. And look at the size of our congregation. I see some churches that are bigger than ours, bigger than ours, that don't do half of what we do. That don't reach half of the people that we reach. Because we're not sitting on the sidelines. We're out changing the world. And we're not changing the world so we can say, hey, look at what I did. We're changing the world because we can say, look at what he did. He needs our hands and feet. He needs us to do what he asks us to do. That obedience. And if we make mistakes, as I'm sure Monica and Dallas can attest to, and that they have done, we do something that's called a course correction. We find out where we are, we decide where we want to go, and we move in that direction toward the objective. But we don't give up. Jesus didn't give up, so why would we give up? We keep moving forward, and there's going to be a lot of things come against us. Everyone in here has seen those things come against the church. From Jim's heart attack, to what happened with Jerry, to some other setbacks we've had within the church. Because we're right in the middle of Satan's playground. And like I said before, I go to conferences with other pastors that know me. When they found out I had a church, they said, and these are guys from mega churches, and they said, oh, is your church in a good part of town? What do you mean by that? As far as I'm concerned, we're right where we need to be. We're right where we can make a difference. And we are. As we move toward graduation, we don't give up. Because then Satan wins. And I know I almost gave up in my 12th grade year. I had a problem with my parents. And they gave me one or two choices, grounded for 30 days or move out. That's what I did. See ya. And I went to most of my teachers and I said, I quit. I'm not coming back. In my senior year. And had it not been for that one person, I would not have graduated. That one teacher that really cared. It's your call who wins this time around. Just as you've always made the call. Do you win? And when you win, God wins, or does Satan win? A long time ago, I had a really wise man explain something to me. And this is what I see as graduating or graduation. And I'm going to share some graphics with you in a minute. It was explained to me as levels in your life. These aren't textbook levels. Just as our spiritual levels are different in between us, each level that we're at is particular to you. My level is not your level. I've come up through levels that chances are nobody else will, because they're specific to me, because God made us unique. God did not make everybody the same. They're not textbooks levels, just as our spiritual levels of are all different. God made us unique, and this is what David said. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Each one of you is fearfully and wonderfully made by our God. Marvelous are your works. These are praises he was giving God. Look at the things he's done. And we can belittle those things and say, oh, it's just a flower. Really? Show me anyone else that can take a seed and make it grow. And if they can, set the seed on a desk and say, okay, make it grow, but I know someone who can, and it's God. And that, these facts, my soul knows well. And hopefully you feel the same way, that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. God's works are marvelous. And the wild thing is sometimes I see people talking about or looking at, or when they see somebody, they look at them and go, oh, wow, look at this guy. But what God tells me in Genesis 1:27, this is the first book of Genesis, so this is where it all started. This was at the very beginning. God created man in his own image. When I see you, I see God. It's not Mindy, Debbie, Frank. It's God. I see God in each one of you because we are created in his image. In the image of God, created he him. Male and female, he them. He created them. He did this so we could accomplish his mission. His mission. If we only knew how to cut grass, other things wouldn't get accomplished. If all we knew was how to fix cars, nothing else. If we all, and that's all we knew, was how to fix cars, nothing else would be accomplished. But God gave each one of us a skill. And together they're all parts of the body of Christ, and they come together and do these beautiful things that are happening. The thing is, we all start at a different place, but we all start. And then it's up to us what we do from there. Some keep going, and some pitch their tent, which is okay. But each of us need to feel when it's time to pitch our tent, that it's okay to pitch our tent. That I've gone as far as I'm going to go. That I'm going to stop at this level. My concern is when people intentionally pitch their tent because they've been beaten down, because they're tired, or they can't see the forest for the trees. That's what bothers me, because I see things in people that they don't see in themselves, and each one of us do, but for some reason they've decided to pitch their tent. Sound like something the devil wants us to do. Pitch your tent, because you're going to go out and bring so many to Christ that there's going to be an army that's going to fight Satan. And he doesn't like it. He wants you to be tired. He wants you to be beaten down. He wants you to feel like you can't take one more step. That's why you hear me praying for wisdom, power, and strength. Because God can give us the wisdom, the power, and the strength to do his work, if it is really doing his work. Okay, let me go on. So here, this is how this was explained to me a lot of years ago. We're all at certain levels in our life. And these are all just examples. This is, it doesn't matter. Any level. This is any level. And I know it's kind of hard to see. It may be academics. It may be math. It may be history. At this level may be kindness. Maybe helping others, maybe reaching out. For us to go to another level, we have to fill out everything that's required of this level. We have to go through these things, and I've seen this happen over and over again. People go, why can't I go another level? Why can't I be better? I keep shooting for that next level without taking care of the level that they're on. Maybe they've got everything down, but they just can't quite get around to helping others. Maybe there's a little pride in the way. Maybe there's a little something else in the way that they just can't let go of. And they get stuck. They get stuck at this level. There's two ways to go to another level. First off is you've got to find somebody that's going to help you get to that level. The other thing is you have to finish filling out this level. You have to get someone who is already at the next level to help you get there. I sometimes find myself questioning why I can't get to another level. And what I found is it's easy to blame others. It's easy to blame my circumstances. It's easy to blame my upbringing. Of course, I can blame my parents. They're not here to defend themselves. They did the best thing they could, but it all comes back on me. It's because I haven't done the work. My life is my choice, and blaming it on somebody, someone or something else only prevents us from moving on to that next level, whether it's in the natural or the spiritual. The natural is your business. The spiritual is mine. That's why I show you this. It's because I want us spiritually to move to the next level. But you can't move to the next level until you have a guide and you fill out that level. For our graduates, the people that helped them get to the next level were their teachers, their fellow classmates, and their family. They helped them. They showed them. They were there for them. They lifted them up. Here's the next rung on the ladder. Here's the next rung. Here's the next rung. And then they stepped back and they allowed them to make their own mistakes. They allowed them to fill out that level that they were on and watched as they climbed their ladder to the next level. And that is exhilarating when you see someone do that. For me, it is, especially spiritually. When I see someone move to the next level, I'm like, you got it. You're there. This is so cool. I've seen it over and over again. The thing is this is so darn simple. Anyone can do it. So here we go. This is not necessarily level one, and these are not necessarily things to fill out this level. You know, the funny thing about God is He'll set this out in front of us, but then He doesn't tell us how to do it. He lets us figure it out. It's like I found in my bank account. All of a sudden, I get money. I get an extra $300-$400 in my bank account. Woohoo! I've got $300-$400. And then I realize I need to get new tires on my car. It wasn't about the $300-$400. It was about God giving me that money to take care of the things that I need to take care of. But I have to figure that out. It's like, God, give me that wisdom. Like I said, you know, tore the curtain. Give me that wisdom, God. And He said, you don't need it yet. Sometimes He gives us visions, thoughts. But He leaves it to us to figure out. And sometimes this is what it feels like when we're climbing that ladder. We're looking up and we see sky and we go, where's this ladder taking us? And God looks back at us and says, have faith. Take one more step. Take one more step in my direction. but I'll show you some things you've never seen before. We see the mountain. Okay. The crazy thing about this is, I lost my place. I get so excited talking about this, and I'm like, and then I went, uh-oh, wrong page. Make it look like it was intentional. Okay, the crazy thing is you can go to another level when you find a sponsor. When you find somebody to take you to that level, you can go to that next level without completing this level. But the thing is you'll never go any further until you go back and finish what was on this level. It's kind of like going through school. If you need a math class or a history class, they may go ahead and promote you, but you won't graduate until you go back and finish that one class. Or you get all the way through and you're going, hey, I'm ready to go to that next level. I'm ready to graduate. And they say you're 2 credits short. What? That's what happens with God. We found a sponsor. We got the teachers. Everybody's been behind us. Our classmates have worked us through, gotten everything done. And all of a sudden, we're 2 credits short. Nobody can fix that except you. You have to go back. You have to finish those things. And the reason I bring this up is because I see so many people going, why don't I go forward? And what I found in my life is sometimes I stay at a level longer than maybe I should, because I want to make sure that everything gets completed at that level. And then what happens is you go to the next level. And then on the next level, there's other things that you need to do, that you need to fill out. Maybe instead of helping others, now it's working with others. And maintaining those relationships rather than just having relationships. And you have to figure out how to do this. You're in another level. You're at a higher level than you were before. Maybe you need to learn how to support people. Maybe you need to learn how to make a little bit of a sacrifice in whatever you're doing. Maybe God or whoever wants you to mentor to someone, wants you to be there for someone, wants you to reach back down to that other level and bring somebody up. Because guess what? You learned, you knew how to fill out that bottom level. And like I said, this happens in the natural just as much as it does the spiritual. Or maybe just showing other people the way, where to go, what they need to do. And then you've got to have a ladder. You've got to have that sponsor. You've got to have that person. That's what you can't get to that level without. Is somebody that's willing to show you the way. Somebody that's willing to put their hand out for you, just like Jesus did with Peter when he started sinking. He didn't know what to do. Whoa, God, save me. I don't know what to do. Jesus said, okay, come on. Let's go to the next level, Peter. You've done been where you are. And then you get to that next level. Guys, this never stops. This is life. And what happens is we stop. And that's one thing I don't want to happen in people's spiritual lives, is that they stop. This is a big book. And depending on which book you have, it has over 1,800 pages in it. And I don't know about you, I've read this a couple times. I don't remember everything in it. But there's a lot of things in that book. Sometimes, well, there's the climb. There's the climbing to that next level. We see this mountain, and this is what it looks like to some people. We know we can climb it, but then there is that cloud. And the thing is we don't know what's under that cloud. We only know that we know how to climb that mountain. We've been there before, or we've been at the foot of that mountain, or we've gone part of the way up. But are we willing to go into that cloud? Are we willing to find out what that next level is? Because I know sometimes standing at the bottom of the mountain, you look up and go, holy moly, how do I get there? And as we climb that mountain, we have to make a decision. And a lot of times we have to make this decision more than once, whether we're going to pitch our tent or whether we're going to enter that cloud. Or if we decide to go into that cloud, we let go and we let God to find out what's up there. So many people I see the cloud and they go, okay, I'm done. A little bit nervous about going into the cloud. But that's not what God wants us to do. And so what God told us is that no matter what happens, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He doesn't say He directs everybody's steps. He says if you are a godly person, He will direct your steps. He'll show you where to go and He'll help you move to that next level as soon as you finish doing what you need to at this level. He delights in every detail of your lives, everything that you do. He delights in those things. Though we may stumble, we will never fall. And that's one of those things that we need to remember, is that the Lord holds us up by the hand. Just like I said a minute ago with Peter, Jesus was there. We may stumble, but we're not going to fall. So why not go into the cloud? We see that cloud, and it keeps popping up. But the other thing the Proverbs said is, you know what? We can make our own plans, but as godly people, the Lord determines our steps. Because we are godly people. And what we found is that God says, you need to go this way. Tells us, just deep down in here. Or then He gives us a vision. And then things start happening. Go left instead of go right. And we went right anyway. And then God says, I want you to do this. And we do that anyway. And what I've seen God do is He just backs up and says, okay, I'm guiding your steps. As soon as you get back on track, I'll be right there for you. And if you start sinking, I'll reach out my hand and I'll pull you up. And the thing is as you go through this, you will find things that feel scary to you. You will see things that are not scary to other people. They may be scary to you, or there's things that aren't scary to you that are scaring the pants off of someone else. That's when maybe we should be there to help people to the next level. Featherstone is an example of that. To us, we're just helping out. We're there for them. In reality, we are mentoring, we are showing people of Christ what Martin Wood does. And how we reach out to other people, how we make them feel comfortable coming into the kingdom, because the people that we're sharing that with are scared to death. The people that I see as leaders would rather go and work behind the scenes than put a mic in their hand and lead all of these people. They are scared. So we look at them and go, it's okay. Here's a microphone. Talk to these people. Let them know who you are. even more so, let them know who Christ is. We do a sermon, we talk to people, but the greatest way for people to know about Christ is in our actions. They say 90% of our communication is in our actions, 10% is in our words. So let's keep moving. Let's keep going to that next level, because what's going to happen is when you get to another level, you're going to see everything you learned from the previous level. You're going to have to use every skill, everything that you learned at the first level or at the last level to get you through the next level. That's why you had to fill it out. God wants you to be successful. Because I know sometimes I pull way back, several levels back. Oh, but the reason that level was there is to give us that skill set. Watch, and you will also see people moving to a new level in their lives. And the cool thing is once they get there, they kind of go, whoa, I'm here. And then you'll see them start settling into that level. And if you can help them at that level, you can't help everybody. But you'll know when you can help somebody. When they use what they've learned, nothing is wasted. God will use every skill. God will use every bit of knowledge He's given you to help you fill out that next level. He's not going to leave you in the wilderness. And He does this because He knows you're doing God's work. Keep doing this. Keep doing His work and graduate again and again and again to new levels. First off, I want to say congratulations to all the graduates. You all, we are proud of you. Yes? Everyone, this week, including the graduates, find your next level. Find the level that God wants you to move to. The biggest thing, don't stay stuck. Keep moving. Seek ways to fill out your next level and graduate. If you would please pray with me. Lord, you've given us great people who have now graduated and are ready to move on to their next assignment. Help them see your mission, your mercy, and your guidance. Protect them as they move forward, walking in your will and in your ways. Keep your light on their path and don't let darkness overcome them. Continue watching over this congregation and blessing your ministry on 8th Avenue. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
If you haven't yet done this, if you haven't given your life to the Lord, there's no time like the present. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We only know what happened today and what happened prior to this time. If now is the time, just say, Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins. Come into my heart. I make you my Lord and Savior. If you said that simple prayer, we believe you've been born again. Come back right here again next week so we can see you. And don't anybody move just yet. Because what I'd like to do is, we have a presentation for the graduates. And I'll tell you what. Dallas, why don't you come up here, big guy?
I'm Dallas.
I know.
How's it going?
It's
going great. This kid has gone through so much in his life. He's probably filled out 4 or 5 levels. He's learned to overcome all the adversity and adjust, has adjusted to different things in his life. this guy has lettered in swimming 4 years in a row. That's his entire high school that he spent in high school. That means he went into his ninth grade, a winner, because he lettered that year. He played on both sides. I don't know much about football, but from what I understand, he played on both sides of the line. Is that right? Am I saying that right?
Yeah.
So, are you like a football star, too?
Yeah.
I guess so. Humility abounds. He was a starter on this year's state 4A championship team. Is that first time in school history?
Yeah.
This guy is a record setter. And have y'all ever heard of overtime? Yeah?
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of double overtime?
Yeah.
They went into triple overtime.
I've heard that one.
We had a 15-minute blackout because the stadium was supposed to be closed by the time the game was over.
Is that incredible or what? This guy has a gentle spirit, but he has the strength of a giant. And what we want to do is we want to give you a Bible. We want you to have your very own Bible. That next time there's a blackout, grab that thing because there's light in there. Thank you so much. It's great having you a part of the congregation. Not only that, but he helps people move. He shovels rocks. I mean, like...
Works with the kids out of Featherstone.
He comes out to Featherstone and helps us. Oh, man. It's so awesome. Come here, Monica. Get up here, girl. I'll move this. You can't hide behind this. This woman is strong-willed. She's independent. She's dedicated. She loves to travel. Word has it, travel furiously. She's dedicated to family and friends. And I remember the year that they got married. And you know, guys, it's like, okay, when did this happen? I don't know. 2002? Who knows? 1998. She got married to that guy. And he keeps telling me that it's my fault because I gave her away. I was blessed to be able to walk this lady down the aisle. Oh my God. And then who would know all these years later? Now you're coming to my church. Don't spend too much time talking to her about my past, please. Our kids used to run around, and our oldest is 37. Yeah, 37 years old.
Actually, Lynn just turned 38. She just turned 38 in a month.
Oh my gosh. Lynn and my oldest daughter, Kristen.
Wow.
They have four daughters, 10 grandkids, and let me see, something about Texas.
Wow. From Texas.
Mom and Dad met in Del Rio?
They did. My mom and dad met in at the Air Force Base. I was born on an Air Force Base. I grew up on an Air Force Base. Met him on the Air Force Base.
So we get to blame the Air Force, Jim? But we want to give you a Bible to commemorate your graduation. This is so incredible what you've done. And, oh man, we love you guys so much. You're welcome.
And next Saturday is Monica's graduation party here, and of course you're all invited, 1 to 4.
Lots of good food.
We love to party, if you haven't checked it out yet. But the thing is it's different than when we were kids. Nowadays, we party in God's name. And their blessings are so much more awesome when we do that.
Yes,
you
can over
your weight. Oh, shoot. Thanks, Monica.
Thank you.
Okay, let's sing our last song, because what's going to happen is, like I said before, is that sometimes it's scary. Sometimes it's scary going to the next level. Sometimes it feels like there's a storm out there. But there's an answer to that.